Let us pray. Father God, as we, your children, are gathered once again in your house of prayer, we come not because it's a requirement, but because we love you, Father, because you have made it possible for we, your children, to come and learn more of you, to let your words soak deep down within our souls, that it had impact on our walk and our talk. That when we walk outside these walls, Father, those who see us will get a glimpse of your love, of your grace and mercies. I pray, God, that you will let your love flow through me and touch the hearts and minds of these your chosen vessels. For us in Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen. Hear ye the words of God as recorded by Luke. In Luke chapter 22, and I'll be reading to you from the NIV version of the Bible. Luke chapter 22, start at verse 39. Luke, the Gentile who had the privilege of writing a gospel and the book of Acts, penned these words. Jesus went out, as usual, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. Once he reached the place, he said to them, "Pray that you do not fall into temptation." He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down, and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. When he rose from prayer and went back to the disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. "While you're sleeping," he asked them, "get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation." May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his holy word. Wow. Wow. Our Lord Jesus was always a teacher, even going to give his life for your sins and mine's. He was yet still teaching. We find here, it's after the Lord's Supper, the Last Supper, he ordained this, and now he's going out to a quiet place, a place where he often go to pray. And brothers and sisters, the first thing I pray you grasp out of this is that we need to be people who are in the habit of praying. And please, do not think because you're here at a seminary, you don't have to pray. Do not think because when you go into class in biblical studies and you're learning Greek and Hebrew, you don't have to pray. Do not think because you're sitting across the campus and learning great counseling skills, you know how to figure out everything. You don't need to pray. Brothers and sisters, nothing takes the place of your time with God. One of the church fathers made the statement, "I am so busy that I dare not start my day without prayer." It took me a little while to learn that and figure that out. But in the MacArthur household, we make it a point of praying. My wife is the first one up, and she's still away to the bathroom, away from all the kids, so she can pray and have a quiet time together. I roll out next, and I spend time a short devotional praying and getting myself in line with what God has for me to do. And then after breakfast, when the family was still there, we would have a prayer. And to this day, before I leave, my wife and I will have a little devotion together. We will pray and we read the scriptures. We need to always be in the habit of praying. The Bible said pray without ceasing. Now, what is this? It's not saying every time you look around, you're praying, but it's saying as God lay something on your heart, you speak to God. You call out to him. You ask him to intervene. We need to always pray. You never get so wise or be so successful that you do not need to pray. And brothers and sisters, I submit to you, if you're in the habit of praying, guess what happened when disaster come your way? And oh, by the way, it will come. If you haven't had a crisis in your life yet, just keep living. Because you live in a fallen world, you will experience some hardships. Some things just won't go right. That great car you have will stop, and it won't stop in an inconspicuous place. It'll stop where everybody will see your car broke down. And it'll stop at the most inconvenient time. You had figured out just how much time it take you to get up in the morning, do what you need to do, and get to class. It's exactly 8 minutes. Your car break down at 6 minutes. And you find yourself in the middle of the street with your seminary friends passing you by, waving, because they on that same 8 minute scale, they got to get there too. So we learn that in the good times when things go on well, that we go to God in prayer. That when the bad times happen, guess what your automatic default is? You pray. You start crying out to God, asking him for your help. Asking him to lead and guide you. Nothing scares me more than being the husband of Miss Brown's oldest daughter. Been married 44 years, and my wife will look at me and say, baby, I'm going to follow you wherever you go. And I smile. And then she'll turn around and say, you make sure you're doing what God has called you to do. Because if you're not, he's going to hold you accountable for where you're leading me. Wow. Wow. And then he had the grace and the sheer nerve to let me pastor a church. And that's even more scarier. Because people older than me, people more wiser than me, look at me and say, yes, sir. Pastor, how should I do this? And I know they know how to do it far better than I do. Wow. It scares me to the point that I pray and cry out to God. Father, help me to do what you have called me to do. I am a mere man, stumbling and bumbling, trying to do what's right. On my best day, I am a filthy rag in your presence. And yet, you have given me the privilege of serving your people. Wow. How dare I not pray? Or should I say, we do not pray. Wow. I'm not going to be long in front of you. I'm going to hit three little points. Then I'm going to sit down and get out your way and go on. We're going to talk about the struggle. We're going to talk about suffering. And we're going to talk about submission. The struggle. Look at it here. It says, on reaching the place, he said to them, pray that you will not fall into temptation. And it says he withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them and kneeled down and prayed. The struggle. Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but your will be done. The struggle. Jesus was a God-man, both God and man. He knew what his mission was. He knew he came here to pay the price that we could have the right to eternal life. He knew that. But yet, when he get right at the point of going to the cross, he go and he pray a prayer and he ask his Father, if it's your will, let this cup pass from me. I don't know about you, but that gives me courage, because I know there's some tasks God wants me to do that I really don't want to do. But if I go to him and talk to him and submit to his will, it's okay for me to struggle with it. It's okay for me to wrestle with the things that God has called me to do. I'm a mere man. We are only human. And sometimes God would ask us to do some things that we flat don't want to do. And because you're human, and because you haven't reached perfection yet, you will struggle doing those things that God don't let you off the hook from doing. Wow. Here is Jesus, the one who never sinned, asking God the Father, could you let this cup pass from me? And brothers, so if you read the words, you know it wasn't strange, because remember when Abraham was offering his son? When Abraham was offering his son Isaac, he got ready to kill Isaac. He drew back his knife, ready to kill him, and God said, do not lay hand on your son. God provided another way. And if you read the way Mark put this, God, I know you can do all things. Jesus is acknowledging the Father had the power to do all things. But yet, he's asking the question to the one who has that power. Is there another way? Because he's the God-man, his divine nature knows there is no other way. But his human nature, because he was fully man, saying, surely, Lord, there got to be another way. Most human beings do not have a death wish. Even Christians who know that when they die, they're going to heaven. Most Christians are not in a hurry to die. We know heaven is a far, far better place. But none of us are running to embrace death. The human part of Jesus was not running to embrace that shameful death on a cross. He was struggling with it, just like you and I will struggle with some of the things that God will require us to do. Wow. Wow. So the struggle is going on. But notice how he phrased this. He said, Father, if it's your will, take this cup from me. And in Mark, he started with Abba, Father. And that Abba, Father, saying that's something near and dear. He had a close relationship with God the Father. And the way I start this by talking about praying, brothers and sisters, if you are constantly praying, talking to God, you too will have a close relationship with him. One of the things that scares me as a pastor, if someone would come tell me, Lord, I had a dream. Do you think God was speaking to me? And I look at them with puzzlement. Do you not know the Father? Have you not spent time talking to him? Brothers and sisters, I stand here and tell you, if your mom walked through that door right now and started speaking, every one of you will know your mom's voice, because you have spent some time with her. You spent time praying, spent time reading the Word of God. Guess what? When he speaks, you will know his voice You don't have to run to a pastor or someone else. Is God talking to me? And oh, by the way, if he's telling you to do something, they're going to line up with the word of God. God will not tell you to do anything that do not line up with his word. So, if you don't have a vision and God told you to go slap Mac, I trust you, it wasn't God. So we look at that. We look at the struggle. The suffering that Jesus went through. The suffering Jesus went through was the fact that he had 12 close friends. And at the Lord's Supper, at the Last Supper, one of them, he acknowledged was going to betray him. So Judas went off to betray him. He had the other 11. They went to the garden with him. And you read one account, Matthew said, and everyone except for Peter, James, and John stopped at the entrance. And Peter, James, and John went a little further. But he separated himself from them. One of the things I've learned over the years, corporate prayer is great. But as I begin this, there's times you got to pray for yourself. The word of God said, you have not because you ask not. Never get so prideful that you don't go to God. Yes, it's good to ask your friends to pray with you. But notice what Jesus is doing here. He got his disciples around him, but then he separated himself and go and spend time with God, just Jesus and God. There are times when you and God need to have a personal conversation, just the two of you. And Jesus is showing us how to do that. His struggle here, where Jesus found himself alone. Brothers, I submit to you that you can find yourself in the midst of a crowd and feel all alone, like there's nobody else in the world or nobody going through what you're going through but you. It can happen to you. You can feel all alone. And to show you how Jesus began to feel alone, he got up and he walked back and give the account three times, went back and he found the disciples sleeping. Wake up and pray. Unless you fall into temptation. Then he went back and he prayed again. Jesus was suffering so much that Luke said the sweat was like drops of blood coming from him. He was in anguish, crying out to God. It was a heavy burden. Why was it so heavy? Jesus knew what death was like. Why was he in such agony? Brothers and sisters, I submit to you, he was in agony because he became the very thing that his Father detested. For you and me, he became sin. He took our place. Justice demanded a price. God, justice, demanded a perfect sacrifice. So he who knew no sin took on all our sin. And I am so thankful that he did it all. All the sins of the past, everything that's going to happen today, and anything in the future. Jesus paid that price. He suffered the divine wrath of God. We like to think of it as him doing that on the cross, and yes, that is true. But here in the garden, you see the agony he's going through realizing what is about to happen. Just think about it. There was never a time where Jesus was not one with the Father. But guess what? Sin cannot be in the presence of the Father. Here is the God-man, the perfect sacrifice, taking on every wrong thing we have done and will do. And looking at that, that brought him to the point of death. But notice something about prayer. Brothers and sisters, when you pray to God, God have a tendency to answer you. And you keep reading what it says. An angel came down and ministered to him and strengthened him. And when he got strength, guess what it said? He prayed more earnestly. He didn't stop praying. He just went back and prayed some more. Just poured out his heart to God some more. Is there another way? Do I have to go to the cross? So we talk about the struggle. We talk about the suffering. And here's the part that we as Christians have a hard time dealing with. Submission. Submitting to the will of God. When I was small, I thought the best thing I can do was get grown and leave my parents' house. Nobody would be telling me what to do. I was just smiling. Man, I couldn't wait. So when I became of age, I left home, ran to Miss Brown's daughter, said I do. Now I do everything she tells me. Now, brothers, y'all laughing, but it's called peace. Jesus said, not my will. Thy will be done. He submitted to the will of the Father. Yes, I know this gonna make me something you detest. Yes, I know I got to be humiliated. Yes, I know I got to hang between heaven and hell. But Father, if that is what need to happen, I am willing to do it. Make it personal sometimes. Read this scripture and put your name in it. Jesus suffered and died a cruel death because of John McCarty. Wow. He suffered for Jonathan Edwards. Wow. He suffered for Moses. Wow. And he suffered for our unborn children. Wow. Make it personal. The gospel is not something abstract that you look at and put out there. The gospel is something that you embrace and hold. You're praying to God. You're not praying to some mythical figure up there. You're praying to a living God. One that knows more about you than you know about yourself. And again, that is what's scary. Of the things we have done that nobody else knows about, he knows. And yet, because of his love, he died for us. Brothers and sisters, This passage of scripture demonstrates to me the depths of love that God have for us. John said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Most time I go straight to the cross. But as I read and meditate on this, I begin to realize, getting to the cross was a rough deal. Something that Jesus did all by himself. No disciples. Just God the Father strengthen him. There's a reason he said, no man take my life. I freely lay it down. And brothers and sisters, in the Baptist church, we embrace the cross. Because at the cross, we hear Jesus saying, Father, forgive them, because they know not what they are doing. At the cross, we hear Jesus saying, it is finished. And then he hung his head and died. Wow. So, I stood here talking to you about struggling too, talking about suffering too, stood here and talked to you about submission. I don't know where you are in this journey. Only you and God know where you are. But I promise you, in your life, you'll hit each stage of this somewhere. Just live long enough. But if you have a God who have demonstrated his love as much as we read in this Bible, if the God that we read about is your God, you have the assurance that all will be well. For the God we serve have a way of taking no matter what you're facing and make it turn out all right. Remember when Job lost everything? He didn't curse God, he just prayed. And unfortunately, because Job is a long book, most of us just read the front part and don't get to the back. But you need to get back to the back. Because in the back, God blessed Job double of what he had. Remember Hannah? Couldn't have a child. Pleaded with God. Eli thought she was drunk. No, my Lord. And when God blessed her with a son, she gave that child back to the Lord. Samuel, one of the greatest prophets of all times. Wow. Whatever you're going through, when it seems hopeless, when you have no hope, go to the one who is hope. And watch him do the impossible. We serve a Savior who is able and willing, whose arms are open wide, asking you to ask him for what you need. And he'll be faithful and just to not only supply your needs, but a whole lot of your wants and desires. Let's pray. Almighty God, we come thanking you for your grace and your mercies, asking God that you continue to look on high and look down on this great institution that you have set forth, that you will continue to give men and women a desire to come here and study and meditate on thy word. You will continue to call God-fearing professors to come here and pour out their knowledge into the hearts and minds of these you have chosen. May this institution continue to be a launching pad where God-fearing men and women go out and make an impact in a dark, sin-sick world. May they realize that there's nothing impossible for them to do because they are doing your will. We thank you, we honor you, and give it all praise and glory. For us in Jesus' name, we do pray.